improvements through some highway off-ramp kind of stuff, infrastructure kind of stuff. They're going to get that, but it's, they're going to have to put their own bill. And they got to be really careful with that because they're up from, what, 20 to 24 teams. David Beckham, you know, he got the year and a half ago in Miami, he was given the team for Miami. They still don't have a team because they made the mistake of saying, great, you got the team, and then they forgot, oh, yeah, you got to figure out how to get a stadium.
Well, that's what they're doing here in Minnesota, too, at the same time. The commissioner, we were talking about this the other day, Superstar, where the commissioner said, we need to have this stadium thing figured out by July, and if we don't figure it out by July, then we might have to reconsider even coming to Minnesota.
Right. So it's kind of, congratulations, woohoo.
That's amazing how they can come out and make that big announcement.
Because they're trying to bamboozle us to give them hundreds of millions of dollars to build the stadium.
And that's what they're going to try to push for that, and at the end of the day, they're going to have to put up their own money. They're going to, doesn't hurt to ask, right? So all these billionaires are going to come forward and go, wah, 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 give me some money. It's not going to happen, and then they're going to have to build their own
state. But how much money is the state going to have to pay anyways? And I think Governor Mark Dayton said that they'd be willing to help out with infrastructure stuff and changing things around 94 and that whole commons area as you go through the Lowry Tunnel and making roads around the stadium, exit ramps, all this stuff. I mean, that's going to cost several millions of dollars as it is anyway.
Right. But
and probably needed improvement anyway, but to get a soccer stadium in there and to improve your city.
But I really believe one of the reasons we have the best downtown of any city in the country, I believe, is because we put our stadiums down there. I was so strong on the new Viking Stadium going downtown. Twins are downtown. You put the soccer downtown. You know, you look at what the Wild has done downtown St. Paul.
It's money.
Well, and it's a quality of life issue for everything else it brings. It brings families in. It brings energy in. It brings the suburbs downtown.
Jobs.
So if you're going to put it in, I'm least glad they're going to put it down there.
You can improve the roads and whatnot. And you needed that anyway, but also the revenue drawn in by that.
Yeah, they're pulling 8,000 people a game, which I know is not a big number, but they're pulling 8,000 drive up to Blaine to watch soccer games. You put it in a more centrally located place or the better stadium, I think they're going to do quite well. You get a lot of millennials, a lot of people from other countries that have moved here, that soccer's what they grew up with. I think it's going to go.
I remember when David Beckham came and played whatever the team was named before they became the Minnesota United FC. They were blue jerseys or whatever. But they played at the Metrodome, and the entire lower bowl was packed. It was sold out because they didn't even offer the upper bowl, but it was packed. Vuvuzelas, that's what the Superstar and I are most excited for.
Well, I'm going to open a Vuvuzela store, too. You're just going to sell those.
Perfect.
And you and I are going to go in on that together, right?
Yes. Oh,
We want to talk. We've got a covenant not to compete kind of thing. You got to sign first.
Really?
Yeah. Ben and I have been working on that, actually.
Yeah. It's kind of,
what the hell? So you two are in cahoots?
Yeah.
Darn right.
Wow, collusion.
We can be bought.
You know that I was doing a little TV at the time, right across the street from the, I think it was the Hilton. Okay. It was the Hilton. And there was a big car sitting out front at ballet, and it was an Aston Martin.
Ooh. Uh-huh.
And I said, what's the deal? I knew those guys. They let me park there and go across the street and do some TV, then come back and jump in my truck and get out of there. I said, who's this belong to? Oh, it was shipped in for Beckham.
No, just to have to drive.
Yeah. Wow. Yes, it was David Beckham. He was inside the place, and he was going over. I guess it must have been that game.
But his wife is really ugly.
Oh, God, yeah, terrible.
She's
one of the Spice Girls?
Yeah.
Scary Spice.
No, she's posh.
I know posh she is. Spice. Okay, whatever. Either way. That's a good deal. And then the last kind of goofy thing maybe to throw on a list here is, you know, sometimes the world makes interesting bedfellows. So you've got the ACLU, who has now come forward and filed what's called an amicus curiae brief, which is a fancy word for saying friend of the court. I can't just step into a lawsuit and be part of it if I don't have a reason to be there. So if Ben's got a lawsuit going with somebody else, I can't usually say, I want to come in and be in this lawsuit that Ben's in, and I have to have some reason to be there. So this is called a friend of the court. So this is where the ACLU says, even though we aren't technically we aren't the Washington Redskins, we're not the NFL, we're not one of these Native American groups that is trying to sue, we want to be in and we want to be heard on this. And so they brought a claim claiming that the Patent and Trademark Office can't cancel the Redskins trademark because it's viewpoint discrimination. And so their argument is, and there's a little interesting part to this, saying, okay, it may be horrible, it may be distasteful, it may be inappropriate, but where is it for the government to say, we don't like this, and therefore we're not going to give you the protections, even though there are a lot of surveys and studies, it's a pretty split argument, depends on which survey you see for how much opposition there is to the Redskins name. I know we personally have a problem with it.
But I call them the racists.
What? That can
Washington
work.
Racists.
So anyway, so it's really interesting that you've got the ACLU and now fighting to say Redskins, let them keep their racist name. It's kind of a
ACLU of all people.
Yeah.
Wow.
Crazy stuff.
What the hell? What are you doing over there anyway?
I'm just queuing up something here. We're getting ready for that. We got a big thing to do.
I know it's coming now. I know it's coming now. God, I'm ready. I'm ready. Okay.
Red and juicy, fresh and fluffy. I'm for the veggie and a fruit. I taste good.
Folsom up does himself.
It's funny stuff.
You can also eat me raw. I am the tomato.
We are at the highlight of the hour, guys.
It's going to be a weekly thing now. With
it is. Keep that. Keep that track.
Hallberg,
lay that
Hallberg
music
criminal defense.
Down.
Keep listening to this one now. You're going to love this one.
A little background for those that aren't aware that Mr. Morris is a huge hard rock metal band kind of a guy. He's going to... You know, he's got 20 AC/DC tattoos on himself already, and
correct,
another 20 to go.
I have 289 songs.
So we
iTunes.
Have a little competition. We started only once, and the competition is that I'm going to give Ben two names. Excuse me, I'm going to give Mike two names,
okay,
and he has to pick which one is the name of an heirloom tomato, and which is the name of a metal rock band. Okay, we've done this once already, and Mike got it right.
And I have been praying and asking that it never happen again.
Yes,
but you overruled me, because this is a democracy, and we're
right,
in America.
That's right. Darn
right.
Right.
That's right.
And Mike's a lot bigger than both of us. So we did this once already, and then the question was, you had the words beefsteak and V8. Which of those was a tomato? Which of the metal band? Mr. Morris got that correct, and that beefsteak was the tomato. It wasn't the V8.
Tomato,
so he's got one right. And here's kind of the rules. I get to make this up because it's my game. So we're going to do this 5 weeks in a row.
All right.
Yeah. If you get...
5 weeks in a row? Wait a second. Yeah. What? I just missed that part.
Yeah, it's a binding oral contract. Okay. So there's 5 weeks, and you got one right.
I do.
If you get three right,
okay,
you get to punch Ben in the mouth.
No, well, wait
this
a second.
A wonderful game. This is a really
if
good game.
If you get four right out of
hand
five,
out Vuvuzelas from
our
store.
You get to kick him in the...
Right in the balls?
Right in the balls.
Awesome.
Okay, you get four right.
This is going to be good.
If you get five all right,
hell no.
I haven't decided what the reward will be for you, but I can tell you two things.
I can kill him?
Number one, you're absolutely going to get fired by the station. And two, it will be worth it.
It will be worth it. Nice.
Okay. Yeah, you better hurry
I
up
love
or
it.
I'm
going
to be fired by
okay.
the state.
Okay, sorry. So here are your two words. Take your time, Mr. Morris, sir, to figure this out.
Okay.
Your two words are, one's a tomato, one's a band.
Yep.
Crimson Glory or Scarlet Topper. Which is a tomato, which is a band. Crimson Glory, Scarlet Topper.
Get out of here, you low-life scum.
Crimson Glory is... the heirloom tomato.
Scarlet Topper.
Scarlet Topper is
the tomato.
Oh no!
And now we'll have to find a track of Crimson Glory sometime.
Ben
so
is,
you're
is
one and one.
Then.
You're still at 500. You know, in baseball, you're a star. So
yeah,
wait
exactly.
until next week, because again, remember, this is a sports station, and at my age, gardening is a sport.
Oh, good for you.
That's
Mark Hallberg.
That's a segue.
Hallberg Criminal Defense. Thanks for coming by.
Thanks,
every week at this time, brought to you by Ability Bail Bond.
It's a tough call to make, but make the call. Hallberg Criminal Defense.
612.
Defense. 24/7, we answer.
That's right. It's wonderful when he comes in. I think it's terrible the way we go from two segments of Marsh Hallberg to Jim Rich. It doesn't seem to flow very well.
But Jim is so much classier than me, though.
I don't know. That's the problem. I think that's the problem. I think we drop off quite a bit. We spike way down. But we're going to do Jim Rich next, right here at Radio Active Sports.
The NASCAR Sprint Cup Series, only on 105 The Ticket.
Joey Logano just screams out into the lead. McMurray's watching the ticket. Matt Kenseth and Kevin Harvick side by side for third.
This Sunday, the STP 500 is at the shortest track in the Sprint Cup Series, Martinsville Speedway. Tune in Sunday at 11 a.m.
That's the battle for the lead in turn one.
This is Brad Keselowski.
This is Dylan Hart Jr.
This is Jeff Gordon.
This is Jimmy Johnson.
This is Kevin Harvick.
Your home for NASCAR in the Twin Cities is Sports Radio 105 The Ticket. Back to Radioactive Sports. The superstar Mike Morris and Ben Holson on Sports Radio 105 The Ticket.
Faster! Oh, I want to be rich.
Are you with me?
Yes.
Oh,
I want to be rich.
Playoffs? What are you talking about? Playoffs?
I want to be rich.
My Bruce.
I think they have a lot more skill than people give them credit for. You know, they're one of the higher scoring teams in the league and very dangerous. So we got to make sure we're ready to be really good tonight.
If you have a telescope, Uranus is visible too.
Not that there's anything wrong with that.
No, of course not.
We have Jim Rich joining us. He joins us every day here at Radioactive Sports at 5:15 or so. And
hi, James.
There he is.
How are you doing, boys?
Hi.
You're doing pretty well in the NCAA March Madness bracket. You were crushing everybody. You must have gotten all the games correctly last night because you're still right there on top.
No, my Wichita State is dead and gone.
Ooh.
So that's a bit of a problem.
Ooh.
Looks like you'll be buying a steak and lobster.
What?
Yeah.
Wait a minute. I can't fall that far, did I?
No, you didn't.
You lost some ground. You lost some ground.
I know.
I don't think you did. I literally don't think you did. You are in third place now.
So you lost some ground.
Oh, yeah, you did.
Yeah, but I don't have to buy those people steak.
No, you have to buy all 216 people steak and lobster if you don't finish in first place.
Oh, that's a good bet. I love that one. Yeah.
Todd Stussy, Mike's favorite guy, former Minnesota Viking, out of 99 people in this former Vikings bracket challenge that we talk about so often, out of 99 people, he's only 97th.
Which is good.
He's picking it up.
Yeah, he's doing really good. Of course, you had Villanova, you have Wisconsin still, you have Duke, they're still alive. Just imagine.
Got a couple.
Yeah. I wonder, though. I mean, Wisconsin just barely surviving that last one, though, with UNC.
But, Soup, you wanted to beat Randall McDaniel and Jeff Christie. You're beating Randall McDaniel now.
And Jeff.
Yeah, you came way up.
Mm-hmm. I came up from 70 to like 38 or so.
Yeah.
Uh-oh.
And,
what?
Yeah, mm-hmm. Look out.
He's making a move. He's making a move.
If I go Arizona, which I have, over Wisconsin, Jim, I'm catching you.
Uh-oh.
I'm catching
Uh-oh.
You.
And, Jim, I'm catching you, too. I'm only 15th place. Which I want to say, I'm only 2 points
You're
behind
like
you.
You're way down.
I am not,
how does
no.
one night do all this? I don't understand. One was 70 and the other was 30-something.
That was 34th
now,
last night.
After some working on the computer, I'm up to 15.
No, I'm just 2 points behind you. It's interesting because you have these ties. So everybody's tied, like I'm tied with, you know, five different people. So we're all tied at 34th place or whatever. So that's how it works out.
Plus, those there's more points terrible. Involved in these games. The closer you get to the championship game, they're worth more points.
Sure,
I got all four games right.
Hard work with the first couple of rounds.
True story.
Uh-huh.
The true story. But I hate to say, but if I get my championship game, if that would put it University of Kentucky versus Duke, and I don't think Duke can get past Michigan State though right now. I really don't think so. But if I do get there, I think I'm going to catch it.
But here's the thing, and I'm not sure who he has in his championship game on Vike fans and our website, or the challenge with the former Minnesota Vikings, but on 105 The Ticket, his two final teams are also Kentucky and Duke.
Well, that's not the case over here, because Jim Rich has Wisconsin and Duke.
Hmm. How many different brackets did you fill out, James?
Well, how do you think you do this stuff? You have to protect yourself.
Well, that's why I'm wondering, like, how are you winning? You're doing so well in both brackets.
Jim Rich, James Rich, Rich James. I got a whole bunch of them over there.
Rick James.
Biatch.
Super freak Rick James.
Exactly.
Yeah. If you end up with Wisconsin Duke, I mean, you could still be in the championship game that way. But you got Duke to win. The one with the Brad Johnson bracket challenge. You got Duke in that one. I don't know if that can happen.
But you have Kentucky and Duke as well.
I have Kentucky to win, though. He has Duke to win.
Oh, he has Duke to win. That's why I'm hoping Duke loses at some point, and I hate saying that because I have some really good friends that love Duke, and I hate to do that to him.
Tyus Jones.
Because I have Virginia and Kentucky in the championship game, so I need you guys to be screwed as much as I am because I just have Kentucky. It's the only one that I have left in the championship game, so I want Duke to be shot. Shot the heck. And last night you had to be pretty nervous last night, James, with Wisconsin almost losing to North Carolina.
It was dicey. But, those Badgers are a pretty tough bunch. That
they
seems to be their MO is that they mess around and let teams get ahead, but they make their free throws down the stretch and get it done. And they were able to do that last night.
Arizona's going to be too much for them.
For Wisconsin? Yeah, I think so, too.
Be too much. I think Wisconsin shot themselves in the foot almost last night. You can't play like that and beat Arizona.
No, you can't.
So let that be a lesson to you.
That's crazy.
I think it's the red. I think it's the red going to shine through.
I don't know. North Carolina's not super good, I don't think, and necessarily Arizona's really good. But anyway, we got to talk about Wild games because they're starting their five-game homestand tonight. The Minnesota Wild welcome the Calgary Flames, and they're just a couple of points separating the teams ahead of the Wild and the teams behind them, and they're going to play all of these guys in the final eight games here tonight. Calgary, a pretty decent team. They're on the outside looking in. They're a hungry team wanting to get that playoff spot. How do you see tonight's game?
Well, that's exactly for them. This is you know, a game that really will size up their season. If they lose this one tonight, it'll really put them in the rearview mirror of the Wild. The next two games with Calgary in here and then L.A., which is also trying to hold on to a playoff spot. You know, we were talking yesterday about catching Chicago, but look at how fast things changed last night. Winnipeg wins over Montreal. They're breathing down the Wild's neck. So this isn't going to get as easy as, you know, oh, let's catch the Blackhawks. Because all of a sudden, everybody else is winning as well. And the race to get in will keep going. So this five-game homestand has to really go the Wild's way, because then they finish with three on the road. And I think Nashville, St. Louis, and Chicago, which are not fun places to play.
I'm telling you right now, I mean, they've got to get this thing done tonight. That's the separation you're looking for, in the comfort zone that would bring to put some of these people in your rearview mirror. I think that's the key to the whole thing, is winning right now on the road against these people that you can separate from right away.
Right, because Calgary, they need this more than obviously the Wild, because they need to get into either A, a wild card spot, or B, one of those spots in the Pacific Division, which really has suffered this year, because five teams from the Central will make the playoffs, and only the top three from that side will get in, more than likely. So they need points. They don't care how they get in or where they go, but they need the points here tonight. So you'll see a desperate club. They're a very high-octane type of team. They really bring the offense. Their defensemen really jump into the play, really make a lot of things happen for this club. And, you know, they've been able to get it done. A lot of people didn't expect this team to be this good, this quick. They got a lot of young players, but hopefully the Wild can counteract that and get over this malaise that's hit them at home, where they've just won three of their last seven. Well, they've won a franchise record 10 in a row away from St. Paul.
Talking to Jim Rich from Fox 9, and really the Minnesota Wild have the recipe for success in the Stanley Cup playoffs. When you talk about it, when you think about it, the Wild play good defense, they have great goaltending, and they've proven that they can win on the road with the franchise best 10 in a row. I mean, what more could you need going into the Stanley Cup playoffs than that?
No, and you missed the number one key, the goaltending.
No, I said that.
Has been lights out. Did you? I'm sorry, I thought you were talking defense overall. But yeah, you look at what they got, and, you know, they are a playoff-ready team. You're going to need scoring from more than one line, and right now the Wild have been getting that. Vanek's development the last couple of weeks has been impressive. I think he's on an 8 or 9 game scoring streak right now. And, you know, the people that were howling about his play earlier in the season, they've been quieted by this stretch. And I asked Mike Yeo yesterday when we were at practice about Vanek and why he thinks he's changed. And, you know, he said, well, we sat down with him, showed him video of what he was doing, and then explained to him, this is not what you can do. We need you to do more than that. You need to pick up your defensive play. You need to get in on the plays quicker. And Yeo said he's listening. And he's trying to do it, but he says, think about it. Here's a guy who's been an all-star in numerous places where he's played. He scores almost 30 goals every season, and we're telling him, we don't like the way you play. You know, and most players that have that credential and that have that veteran status are like, what are you talking about? I've been an NHL all-star. You don't need to tell me how to play the game. But he said that he hasn't gotten that attitude at all from Vanek, that he said, okay, you know, and he's been trying to adapt his game, and Yeo said it's happening more and more, and it certainly has in this stretch.
Do you think we'll have enough energy to finish this thing out? I mean, how much longer can these guys go and find enough to keep getting up for each one of these games that means so much? And number two, if they don't make the playoffs, do you think that Yeo is in trouble?
No, I don't think so. I think you go back to the goaltending scenario that dogged him, that got him into this big hole, and I think that the ownership group and Chuck Fletcher would say that, yeah, that's what went wrong with the season if this does come up short. But I don't think that's the scenario that we'll be talking about in a couple of weeks. I think instead we'll be talking about a first round matchup with either Anaheim or St. Louis in the first round. And I think these guys are loving coming to the rink right now. I don't think any of the players are tired. After this back-to-back this weekend, they're off until next Thursday. So this is their last chance to really charge up their batteries, get ready, hopefully try to let their bodies heal as much as possible, and then get ready for the run to the playoffs. So I think they're enjoying the rink. I think they like being around each other. I don't think there's any feeling of, boy, this is really getting to be hard work right now.
Can't wait. Jim Rich, you're the highlight of our day, the superstar Mike Morris and me, every day at 5:14. Playoff hockey just around the corner. It's my favorite time of the year. Thanks for joining us this afternoon. What's coming up this weekend? Sunday night, 10:35 on Fox 9 Sports Now.
Well, Sunday night we're going to see how this weekend plays out, but we've contacted some Wild players, and perhaps we can convince them to stop by the station and converse about how this season has gone for them. We'll have to see how these two games play out. They've kind of given some tentative commitments, but, you know, we'll see where it goes. But that's our game plan anyways.
That must drive you crazy, trying to find out if these players are going to come in or not. That is always enough to drive you absolutely nuts, even in radio, trying to get people on the horn.
It's my job, too.
And you never know. You have to just...
Because if they lose,
hope for the
they
best.
Don't want to talk. If they win, right. Maybe they will.
It's unbelievable. It's like babysitting all the way to the phone or whatnot. So, Jim Rich, thank you very much. And we will talk to you again later down the road, probably next Monday, I'm guessing.
Have a great weekend, Jim.
All right, boys. Don't forget that NCAA hockey going on. Bulldogs just jumped on Minnesota, 1-0 in the first. And St. Cloud and Michigan Tech, are tied at 1-2.
Ooh.
So a lot of college hockey going on around the country trying to get to that Frozen Four.
Well, thanks for that, James. Nice little update there. We have up next Hardball with Mike Berardino. You know what? It's one of those things down there at training camp. Training camp, I call it. Spring training. You should dress that up a little bit. It's really just spring training because they just kind of jog. It's not training camp per se.
Baseball is not
the easiest sport in the world to prepare for.
They don't exert a lot of energy in baseball. Yeah. Let's just be honest.
Ask Joe Mauer. Oh yeah, we worked out pretty hard today. we did some jogging in the outfield this morning, and then we had some soup and
soup.
Anyway, I'll come on back. Mike Berardino for all of you seam heads next.
From pro to college to high school, we've got it all covered.
I'm starting to wonder if A-Rod and Lance Armstrong share the same brain. Somehow they'll always find a way to be the victim.
Passionate sports talk on your sports station, 105 The Ticket.
For the Minnesota Twins today.
Time to oil up the mitts. It's Hardball with Mike Berardino.
A lot of information in their head here, so I'm willing to learn it.
Definitely excited to have him lead the way.
Get your seam head talk right now on Sports Radio 105 The Ticket.
I hope Brian's happy, and we're happy for sure. I hope that economically it works out for both. But Brian's just a great guy, and we're really happy.
That Mr. Jim Polad talking about Brian Dozier and... getting him signed and sealed and aboard and ready to roll. We're going to take you now to Mike Berardino, who is down in Florida still with spring training, and they put him in charge officially to try out some of the food that they're going to be having this year at the stadium back up here at Target Field. He's trying out the Twins Herbex Bloody Mary topped with pepperoni pizza right now. How's that going, Mike?
I'm not coherent. No, I don't know what you're talking about. I've not been allowed to have any of these things. I did have some tilapia for lunch, and it was delightful.
Oh, that's good.
Very nice. Very nice.
You ever smelt burnt fish?
This afternoon I did.
Yeah,
right here in the hallway.
The radio station.
Really?
Yeah. I feel like somebody put fish into the microwave and burned it.
I think it was Pat Ebert. Yeah. Funny enough.
Yeah, well, it doesn't surprise me at all. Mike Berardino, the Twins lost 4-2 to the Pittsburgh Pirates today. How did that go?
Well, it was wet. It was pretty wet out there. I was glad I was inside. They had to call the game at the top of the eighth because it was so wet. And it was right in the middle of J.R. Graham showing again why he's probably going to make this team. And I just posted something at TwinCities.com that the belief among those very closely monitoring his status, you know, the Twins have to keep him or offer him back to the Braves or work out a trade with the Braves. They have to keep him on the roster. They can't just send him down. But that's every indication is that he's got an 0.84 ERA, and he's showing him what he needs to show. His fastball is 95, 96 again today, and they took a flyer on a guy for $50,000 who used to throw in the high 90s and then had shoulder problems. At the time they got him, they thought he was coming back from the shoulder problems, but the velocity hadn't returned, and it looks like they may have hit the jackpot because he's got all the pitchers, he's got all the competitiveness, and he at one time was one of the Braves' top three prospects. So if you can put it in those terms, they might have gotten for $50,000, say, you know, he's a reliever, you know, the Braves' version of Alex Meyer or Cole Stewart, somebody who was ranked that highly.
That's incredible. That's incredible. Now, who's responsible for finding this guy and then putting him in the right hands of someone who could get this arm worked and back into shape and back up to form and then some?
Well, I'd say the entire Twin scouting group, but Vern Folliwell was the guy who was there at the Rule 5 draft along with Mike Radcliffe and had the responsibility of deciding on that. But there are a lot of voices because the Twins had worked out J.R. Graham when he was at Santa Clara. Going back years, several years. He's 25 now, so he's not a baby, but they considered drafting him. The Braves got him first, but they brought him to Target Field, I guess, a few years ago and worked him out and liked everything about him then. He just went sooner than they had him on their board, and he roared through the Braves system. He was really well thought of, and then he had serious shoulder problems to the point where most people would have undergone surgery. But Dr. Andrews' people kind of used him as a guinea pig, and I wrote about this a few weeks ago during spring training, that they, and this is almost a, you hear a little bit more about this in general sports, but platelet-rich plasma.
PIP, yeah, PIP, that's right.
Yeah, he did that, and he also, you know, just a round of treatments that were rehab based, no invasive surgery in the shoulder. Because in baseball, I don't know about other sports, but in baseball, you can have Tommy John surgery all day, and you'll be back in a year. You have shoulder surgery, invasive shoulder surgery, and that might be it. It was his rotator cuff that was the problem.
Wow. So they flushed that with really enriched like plasma. So it concentrates in that area in a way where there would be no type of blood flow that could ever match that. So it's blood spinning.
Yeah.
It's really just blood spinning. And that's amazing, the PIP that you're talking about. That's an incredible method that they're using now everywhere.
He did it one time.
Jeez.
I don't think, right? You didn't need a second. Treatment. It was just like one time and then just pound the rehab, and this guy's very very conscientious and smart, and he did everything they asked, and he was a guinea pig, because the Andrews people say, we've never tried this on the shoulder, we've tried it on elbow, we've tried it maybe in some other areas in other sports, but a baseball pitcher in his shoulder, he's the guy. So
wow.
this is a pretty cool story, and I think it's about to happen here in the next couple of days. He'll be almost certainly added to the team, to the major league team.
Wow, we're talking to Mike Berardino from TwinCities.com and the Pioneer Press. Twins baseball talk, Hardball, every day at 5:30. Brought to you by Nature's Fury NutriDrink. Vitamins have never tasted this refreshing. Trevor May still in the rotational possibilities for being that fifth starter, along with Mike Pelfrey and Tommy Malone. In fact, Molitor said today that there will be roster cuts likely tomorrow that should provide some clarity, including naming that fifth starter. Any news on who that could be?
Well, it seems pretty obvious, and it has been for a while, I guess, although it's Tommy Malone. It's going to be Tommy Malone. It's all but official. Trevor May has an option left, like we talked, and he showed today that they should use the option, that he probably needs a little more minor league time, although the wind was blowing out to right, and one of the two homers was wind blowing, but a lot of hard contact, and you know, Molitor's term for that was he got dinged up a little bit. Yeah, anytime you're starting pitch, you don't really want to get dinged up out there, but that's kind of what happened. I think Trevor, for all the potential that he has, I do think he'll be back, but I think he'll start the year in Rochester. The more fascinating Tommy Malone will start the year in a rotation, giving them one lefty and a guy that they have committed $2.8 million to in arbitration, and a guy who's won 13 games, 12 games in different years. Been around a little bit, so it makes some sense. But Pelfrey's the question. Will they take him in the bullpen, or will they try to move him along to another team?
He's
or
had
will
a pretty good spring,
that?
Though, hasn't
yeah.
he? I mean, he's had an ERA under 2. It's pretty decent
he
for
has,
a guy.
There are teams, yeah, there are, there's a lot of ways that could go. I mean, the one way I don't see it going is where they would just cut him loose entirely, release him, and eat that money, $5.5 million, because you're right, he's hit 95 on the radar gun a number of times, 94 for sure, and that might play up even more in a relief role, as we've seen, and I'm still on that Wade Davis bandwagon where he was a failed starter in Kansas City. They pop him in the bullpen, and suddenly they're cheering him, and he's got a 1-point-something ERA. Not outrageous to think that could help him happen for Pelfrey. However, Twins may need another roster spot because you know, they might want to sneak Shane Robinson onto this team, and he's also here on a minor league deal. They outrighted Lester Oliveros today to create an open roster spot. That's almost certainly going to go to Blaine Boyer. Jared Graham, who already mentioned, he's already on the 40-man roster. But then you got Eric Fryer, who might have to be added back on there as a catcher if Pinto's not ready and they decide not to go with Herman. I don't know that that'll happen, but Shane Robinson's given them a lot to think about, and I wrote about him. It was in the Pioneer Press today that you know, the things that Mulder said about him were the kind of things you say about a guy you do not want out of your sight. You want him on your team. So Aaron Hicks had a ball today that went for a triple that should have been caught. Torrey was talking to him out there in deep center for a few minutes but before he went back to his spot. You know, I don't know. I don't know what happened. We didn't get Aaron Hicks after the game. But and Mulder's very sick, so his session was pretty short today. He's coughing up a lung, and just as his family gets in town for spring break, so not the best timing there. But a lot going on in Twinsville.
No kidding. Especially, I have a quick question. We have 30 seconds to go here, Mike Berardino. The Twins have inquired about watching free agent right-hander Rafael Soriano, 35, but really the most established relief arm left on the open market.
Yeah, and I'm sure that Scott Boras is going to get every dollar he can for him. And let's not forget, it was he's working out at that same camp down in Miami that Kendrys Morales was working at, and he didn't really come out of there in tip-top shape the way he was portrayed by Scott Boras. So we'll see. Soriano hasn't made less than $11 million in a season since about 2010. He's an established product, and Scott, as I've heard him say many times, you know, once his players get to a certain level, he's not too keen on pay cuts. We'll see. I don't know if there's $11 million a year out there for Soriano somewhere. But again, Scott's not afraid to take you into the season, take you to July. It's not like the guy got a sign by opening day. Soriano was very bad in the last 6 weeks last year. There's a reason the Nationals dropped him from the closing spot. He had like a 7 ERA, and scouts thought he might have been finished, and he is 35. So I don't know. Right now, I'm skeptical.
I appreciate I said 30 seconds, not 3 minutes, so Berardino, for God's sakes.
Sorry. Gosh.
Mike Berardino, thank you very much. Let us know how that Bloody Mary and that pepperoni pizza goes.
That's only here at Target
Field. That special.
It's not down there.
No, they're having him try it down there. They're putting them in front of him right now. I've been told that anyway. That's poor information, though.
I'm going to go get me some platelet-rich plasma with red salad. That's what I'm going to do.
Get the PRPs, man.
It's quite tasty with cranberries.
I guess you could call that a Bloody Mary in some ways. But thank you, Michael.
Okay.
Mike Berardino from Florida. We have one of Mike's breaks coming up right now.
This should be a doozy.
It's going to be a doozy. I think we're going to talk Wild because the Flames are in town. We should talk a little bit about Doobie and this run that he's been on. Sort of elaborate on some of the different things that have been happening over. And I want to argue the point about you're making of Mike Yeo. If they don't make the playoffs, he's out of here.
Get him gone. Bye.
We're going to talk about that next right here at Radioactive Sports.
Back to superstar Mike Morris and Ben Holson on 105 The Ticket.
Sitting on a fence.
Hey, Mike is kind of a prick.
Yeah,
huh?
Tell me about it. I mean, ask him a question, get 75 answers.
We only have a lot more days to go.
Good sense. Good sense. Yeah, I don't know. I have to abbreviate that a little bit. Good God.
I'll tell him what I tell you. You talk too much.
Yeah. I don't think it would work. I really don't think it would work.
I said 30 seconds, and he gave us 3 minutes.
How do you tell someone 30 seconds, and they give you that dissertation at the end?
No.
30 seconds. I mean, he's a sharp guy. He's a smart guy. Mm-hmm. You got 30 seconds real quickly. Just this. You asked him one quick thing. He rambled on and on and on, and then we had to hear about Molitor's physical condition and his family showing up for spring training. What the hell was that? How about that guy?
I'll call him.
Kind of a prick. Anyway, Radioactive Sports. Superstar Mike Morris. Ben Holson, producer, nuts and bolts of the show, also co-host of this very show. He also seems to think that if the Wild don't get into the playoffs, that Mike Yeo should be fired.
Mm-hmm.
That is borderline insanity.
I've said it time and time again. I compare it to, I don't follow NASCAR that well. I mean, we play NASCAR games here on 105 The Ticket. In fact, I believe we have one tomorrow.
What do you mean you play NASCAR games?
I don't play NASCAR games. I don't even know what that means. Auto racing, STP 500, okay. Martinsville Speedway, Sunday morning at 11 a.m. But if you're going to have the best race car in all of NASCAR, but you're going to hire a coach that doesn't have the experience to know how to make the turn 500 laps and continue to turn left and go as fast as you possibly can, then the best race car you possibly have isn't going to do you any good.
What was Yeo supposed to do? What was he supposed to do? Go out there and put pads on and stop every puck from going into the net.
That's what it takes.
Those other guys were tied up. They weren't even doing what they were paid to do. They were trying to save the goalkeeper.
I was listening to the Kentucky game last night, and John Calipari is wearing a suit. And then the tubby coach for West Virginia had West Virginia clothes on. And the announcer said, it seems like the guys that wear their team apparel to coach on the sideline seem to have much more success. Or not necessarily much more success, but they tend to be more. I mean, you think about it. Bill Belichick, he's wearing New England Patriots stuff.
The Patriots hoodie.
I mean, there are other people, other coaches, obviously, that are successful that wear their team's apparel.
Team colors and team apparel.
I don't know. I just feel like.
So that's the best you got. That's the only thing you have. Does Mike Yeo not wear?
Well, what a disaster if we don't make the playoffs after what had happened. I mean, if we fail down the stretch here, it goes back on the coach.
It can't be. How in the world are you making that point? Are you just trying to piss people off out there?
I don't think people are pissed off.
They didn't have a goalkeeper. What is he supposed to do?
They had three goalies.
One broke his foot when he got mad and kicked the doggone wall, apparently getting a stud instead of just sheetrock.
No, it was more than that.
Backstrom is 75 years old.
They couldn't score, couldn't keep people healthy. I mean,
What would you say was the reason for not being able to score?
Coaching.
I've had it with you. My patience is about this thin with you.
If you can't score, you're getting scored on all the time, you're going to lose.
But they're preoccupied with double duty, trying to play defense and trying to cover for a goalkeeper.
But that's why they have the guys that they have. I mean, their team is full of two-way players. We're going to talk to Tom Schreier from Cold Omaha
about why the
Minnesota Wild are poised for a playoff run. And basically everybody except Nino Niederreiter and Thomas Vanek are two-way guys. That's why they built this team that way, because they're a defensive team.
You heard Jim Rich talk about Vanek.
And Jim Rich doesn't know what he's talking about.
I hate your guts. Today I hate your guts. This has been a long week with you.
You're the one that locked your keys in the office and made me stay here all night while you're yelling at me, thinking that I had your keys in my pocket as if I was going to stay here, because I love staying late at work, and I love offering the fact to drive you to Shakopee and then back here where you live, because I think it's funny that I have your keys in my pocket.
I didn't even tell people that was what really happened. The little cleaning lady shows up last night. She opens up my office. She walks in at 2 minutes till eight. I've been here for an extra hour. I walk in there. My keys aren't even there. And you said, are these what you're looking for? And you pull them out of your pocket.
That's not even true.
You just said it. You just admitted it. I didn't even want to tell people. We're going to take a little break. Come on back. We got that Tom Schreier guy.
Cold Omaha.
We're going to ask him that question.
I'm going to ask him that question.
You heard Jim Rich. You're not going to take it for what it's worth. What he said about Vanek. Just the Vanek thing. Mm-hmm. Not the goalkeeping and not the coaching thing.
But it took so long. And that's one of the things that I have against Mike Yeo.
Vanek wasn't willing to make the change. He was stubborn. He was an all-star that didn't want to listen, apparently, in the beginning, at least. I don't know. We can ask, Tom.
Then I would say, if I was the coach.
Do you have my keys?
No. If I was the coach, I'd say, you don't want to listen, you don't want to play Minnesota Wild hockey, then you're going to sit until you're ready to play.
Where's that place to eat chicken wings on Wednesday nights?
Maislax. It's amazing.
I'm going to go down there tonight.
Tonight?
Yeah. Watch the games down there. I'm going to eat those wings.
This is so good.
Schreier here.
Yeah.
Is he coming in?
Yep.
Is he here or not?
Mm-hmm. You, sir.
All right. From Cold Omaha, one of the writers from 105 The Ticket. We'll have him next, and he better be good, and he better answer things the way I freaking want him to answer them, or that's his ass. Next.
Sports Radio 105 The Ticket.
People ask what Omaha means. It's a run play, but it could be a pass play.
You know, if you have a telescope, Uranus is visible, too.
What would Holtz say about that?
That's what Holtz means in German, hardwood.
Do you think he'd get confused trying to look through a telescope?
I don't know.
That's the best. Of course he would. Now, there's two ways to go about doing this. The hard way or the easy way. Which is it, Ben? Which way you want to do it?
Let's go the hard way.
Well, okay. I'm going to get straight to it. About the Wild. We're here with Tom Schreier, Cold Omaha, 105 The Sports writer.
Excuse me?
105 Sports writer. That's okay. That's who he is. That's what he does.
Kind of, but yeah.
We have him on because he's going to talk about the Wild, too, by the way. And I just want to ask him first, right off the bat, whether or not Mike Yeo should be fired if they don't make it to the playoffs.
I haven't even thought about that. I'd say there's a good chance. I mean, it's really
tough.
Yes.
See?
No?
See what I've been talking about? Doesn't think so. Jim Rich doesn't think so. But I've been saying that all day today because, seriously, they are only a couple of points ahead of the people that are the teams that are chasing him, especially Calgary tonight. Yeah. They're, I want to say, 4 points ahead of Calgary.
And, like, 3 from Chicago.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How are you supposed to do it without a goaltender? How are you supposed to coach this team?
What I'm saying about that is that...
But they fall flat on their face these last 8 games. What a disappointment. What an embarrassment that would be.
Okay, here's where I go with that, is that in the middle of the season, you could argue Mumps, illness, goaltender, right?
Mm-hmm. And two of the players lost their fathers also? I mean,
and that's actually, that's very important. But what I'd say is that... Now there's no excuse. As much as I know it's a good playoff race, and I know there's a lot of great teams in the NHL, when you sign Zach Parise and Suter, forget everything else that's happened. You make the playoffs. That's a big investment. You make that big investment, you're going to the playoffs. And so I think with this team, with their structure, with what Chuck Fletcher's done, which he's hit the nail on the head multiple times here. The one thing I'll tell you, though, is I think Yeo is Fletcher's guy. And Fletcher, essentially, this is almost kind of his team. Like, as much as he's not quite face of the franchise as Flip is, he almost deserves to kind of be in a conversation like that because this is his team. This is how he's orchestrated it. And he's made some bold moves. Your Pominvilles, I know Molson didn't work out, but obviously Dubnyk came out. You know, for all of us, you're like, who is this guy? And why are you getting this guy that washed out with the Oilers? You know, and I think it's an embarrassment if you make all these right moves and you have 19,000 people in your building every night and you have that home ice advantage and you have Captain America with Parise and you have Suter's playing all that time. And you have not only that, but all these young guys coming up. Brodin's done well. Zucker's done well. Niederreiter's done well. You have all that going for you. And Dumba is amazing. And here's the thing. When I wrote that piece, I loved his mentality. I came in here and said that. He wants to go out there. His fear is not, oh, I'm going to mess up. His fear is, I'm not going to reach my potential, and I think the sky is his
limit. I love him.
And so he has all these young guys stepping up for him, and I know that's in part him. That's how he's managed them, but that's also Fletcher giving them to, the players he's given them, and it's also how the minor leagues, the guys in the minor leagues have done for him. So he's got a lot going for him. Really, there's no excuse. This team has to make the playoffs. Not only that, but if they do, they should have a chance to go on a playoff run.
But put it in there gently. Of course you do. You have to try it very gently or it hurts. But to come down the stretch, there's 8 teams that are legitimately fighting for the same thing.
Yeah.
We have fought tooth and nail everything to get to where we're at right now, to even be in this position right now that we find ourselves in.
Because of coaching was so terrible in the first half of the season.
No, it wasn't.
We were talking about coaching or firing Coach Mike Yeo before the All-Star break.
Everything to hold this thing together until he found personnel that could man up and tend the goal. And Fletcher did find it. I can't believe he found it. But that is when we knew that we had the kind of team that we have now, because they were, it was like it opened the floodgates on how they could play. And his system